day. I think this is an important one, and I trust that it will help and speak to us. And we're calling this teaching today, Molded Into the Vision. Molded Into the Vision. Without a vision, the people perish. They get lost. And you're going to appreciate, I think, at the end of this teaching, why God gives us a vision like he does. It's our spiritual roadmap. It helps us and guides us in the right direction. And I want to start off this teaching today in Romans 9, verses 20, 21. Romans 9, verses 20 to 21. And here the apostle is teaching and explaining that Israel has rejected their Messiah. God has been working with them all the centuries, preparing them to receive their Messiah, and they reject him. And we know why they rejected him. And so he explains that Israel now, as a nation, as a people, are put to one side. And now God has turned to the Gentiles for a season, giving repentance, salvation, faith for those who ever believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's explaining the vision of God and what he's doing. And we take it up in verse 20. He says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay than the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour?" He's explaining and revealing that God has a plan, he has a vision. Nobody can speak against it. It's no good complaining. God has a plan. It's going to come to pass. He's decreed it. And we have to believe and walk in it. Because otherwise, we get lost. So Paul uses then this analogy, this context of Israel rejecting God and his promises. You see, we're incapable of, not able to do a thing with ourselves. We'll get completely lost. We're just like sheep. Sheep will all follow one another. We see it in the world, we see it in society, we see it every day. Even at times we're still affected by it. And that's why God gives the analogy of sheep. But you see, you have to have the vision. And that vision has to become reality to us. You see, it's not enough just to be saved and receive Christ, which many present today. We are left in this world in which to walk each day with the Lord. But we need to know where we're walking, how we're walking, where we should go. And this can only be achieved as we look to the Lamb and we follow him daily. We keep our eyes 24/7 on him. We are told that we live in the last days and the soon coming of the Lord is imminent. We are seeing a falling away. We are seeing a rapid change in the world globally. We are seeing that God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And so we need a survival kit. We need to be preserved, to be protected, to be kept. We need to survive through the conditions that we are living in, because they're not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And so this is why we're calling this teaching today, we're molded into the vision. You see, it's like the potter with the clay. He has to mold that clay into a vessel that he wants. And clay has to be pliable. You see, some resist the hand of God molding. But you see, the deeper life, the message of the cross, keeps us pliable so that he continues to do that work and molding. Sometimes it has to take harder handling. Not all clay that a potter has is all quite the same. Some needs molding more. Some may need more water applied to it to shape it. But the potter's hand will do the job. He is skilled for the work. But through it all, we have the choice to let the vision shape us. You see, the potter knows the sort of vessel he wants to shape. He's looking for something, a design in his mind, and he's going to work and he's going to shape it. And that's why, you see, if we are saints who just love living on the mountaintops all the time with a lovely view, but resist when God takes us down into the valley where we have to mix with the demon possessed, you will never change. This is why our trials, our testings, what we go through helps to mold that vision in us. For example, let's turn to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says here, where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So the word of God gives us a vision. It's like our roadmap. It's like our sat nav. It's leading us in the direction that God wants us to go. In other words, the vision that God has given us enables us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, because it says where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, they go wild. They all go off in their own direction, doing their own thing, believing what they do is right in their own sight. Doesn't that smack of Christianity today? So many calling themselves Christians, yet they do their own thing. They don't know where they're going. And it's a tragedy. I see so much of this online. Few of them have a vision of the last days. And yet, we have been given a vision through the Deeper Life teaching. We know what it's doing, how it's preparing us, getting us ready for the coming of the Lord, those wise virgins. You see, our training is to bring us into the reality of the vision. And that is what's so important. I'm reminded of Eli, the priest, and young Samuel, who ministered before him. That during that time, there was no prophet, there was no vision. God wasn't speaking. And God, again, was raising up a man so that he would hear from God. And you know the story, how God speaks to him in the night when he's young. And then he hears on the third time, and God speaks to him. And Eli knows that God has spoken to this young man, Samuel, because the Ark of the Covenant is going to leave. It's going to go into the hands of the Philistines. That was the state spiritually at that time. The people were lost. Does it change? Anything new under the sun? No, it's still exactly the same. We have to be around the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God, the presence of God, where he speaks to us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. Much of what he speaks to us today is having faith, believing God's word, not doubting him. God has been working, molding, shaping the vision within us for years and years to get us to settle on God's word and not to change it or to doubt it, but to know God is faithful. He will fulfill his word, his promises through us. You have to start with the basics, and it's believing. And most reject that today. They don't believe. How do we know? Because the trials prove it. And that's why God allows us to go through trials, to show us our faith still needs working on. The potter with the clay, working the vision, preparing us as wise virgins, those five wise virgins. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. I know when I go through a trial, I know the first thing in this trial, God is working on my faith, getting me to settle and not question or doubt. You see, that's the nature of the trials. He's working, he's molding that vision in me as an overcomer. And this is why there is such deliverance. What is that deliverance? Much of the deliverance is in your mind, your thinking. You're still confessing what you see, what you feel, what is around you. And that is why he has to shape you and mold you out of your circumstances, out of what you feel, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Because otherwise, that will mold you. We are molded into something. Our environment molds us. Our family life molds us. Our parents have molded us. Our education has molded us. Our homes, our environments, it all molds us. And God then comes into our life and he says, no, I am now going to reshape you. And I'm reshaping you into the image of my son, Jesus Christ. And then the battle's on. Because it means change. Change in your thinking, in your attitude, in your speech. Everything. This is why I say salvation is a radical work, a complete change. And it requires deliverance, healing, because the world has molded us into its vision. And those who are in the world will perish because they're molded into that environment. And so God has to remold and reshape us. And that is why he gives us the word. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And he gives us a vision. And he starts to mold and recreate us in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is deliverance. At times it's painful. Very often we're defeated by wrong attitudes. It's not so much the trial that defeats me, it's my attitude toward it that defeats me. And that is why our minds have to be renewed. And it's renewed by the word of God, by the hearing and teaching of the word. It works deliverance on us. So when your trials come, no, you don't like it in the flesh, but your faith, your confession says, Lord, this is going to work deliverance in me. It's going to change me. You see, and the enemy starts to lose hold over our minds because that's the only access he has to the Christian. Your soul, your spirit, your heart has been made new in the image of Jesus, but the mind has got to have the helmet of salvation on it. And we have to be molded and shaped into the vision that God has for us. Now, let's just remind ourselves again, what is this vision? Well, turn with me. Here it is, Revelation 12. Let's just go back and remind ourselves what we are being molded and shaped for, we are destined for. This is the ultimate aim. And he says in Revelation 12, verse 2, there's a sign that appears in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, the great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. So there God is giving a vision of the man-child. And there, the next thing is, the enemy is there. He's by the side of this, trying to twist, pervert, trying to get our eyes' attention away from this, because this is our molding. This is what the deeper life is about, the preparation of the man-child. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So Satan has been given permission, access near the woman to try and devour the man-child, the first fruits. But what he's not aware of is God has given him that permission near the man-child, because God is going to use that in which to perfect, to mold. He uses his attacks in which to bring us forth as first fruits. Now you see, only God can do that. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. That's what the overcomers are going to do. It's promised to one of the 7 churches in the millennium to rule and reign with Christ on the earth when Christ comes to rule. Then the woman, which is the church, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So the man-child, the overcomers, the first fruits, the 5 wise virgins are caught away, the rapture, the snatching away. And the woman that bore the overcomers, which is the church, flees into the wilderness, because now the Antichrist is going to make war with Christians that are left, because not all go up. Only the first fruits who are preparing, who are being molded, shaped for the vision. And the children are left behind because the first fruits have been brought in and placed on the altar. Now, the children that are left, as we read this, that is the harvest to be reaped through the great tribulation. And so they flee into the wilderness, a place prepared by God. So God even still prepares. He has a place. He's preserving those that are left, who are left to the Antichrist, because many will be martyred. And then it goes on, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So the man-child, the overcomers, have been caught up to heaven, where the church should be, now in its rightful place with Christ. There's no room left anymore for Satan, his demonic holds. They're now fighting, and they're going to be cast to the earth. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He's cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That is why there's going to be such horrendous demonic activity after the overcomers, the first fruits, are caught away. You do not want to be left behind when this happens, when Satan and his demonic force are cast to the earth. It will be like hell on earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. There you are. He's the accuser. He tries to accuse us. He tries to deceive us. He tries to stop us from being shaped for the vision for the last day. What is the vision? You're being called and prepared as overcomers to rule and reign with Christ. He doesn't want you to do that. Why? Because we've seen it casts him to the earth. It defeats him. Your faith, your labor, your endurance, your staying with it defeats the enemy. What can Satan do with a saint who endures to the end? He can't. That is what defeats him. Don't believe his lies. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives even unto death. And it goes on, rejoice in heaven. That's how we overcome, brothers and sisters, by the blood of the Lamb. What can be more powerful than that? That is why you must use the blood of Jesus. Come against the powers of darkness with the blood of Jesus. Confess it over your life. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Because that is the vision that's molding and shaping us for these last days. And so we see then in Revelation 14, here is the overcomers, the Lamb and the 144,000. Here they are in heaven. And it says in Revelation 14 verse 1, "Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads." Now, whether that is a literal 144,000 or it's spiritually speaking, we don't know. Because one thing I'll tell you, I have been to the Mount of Olives, and there's no way you can get 144,000 on that mountain. It's a hill, really. So we don't know whether it's spiritual or it is a literal number. But nevertheless, listen what it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." There is the song. There is the revelation. This man-child company, the 144,000 have been molded and shapen for the vision to learn this new song. It's not given to everyone. Not everyone sees this. And if you see it, you are blessed. For flesh and blood doth not reveal this to you. These are the ones who were not defiled with woman, with the harlot, in other words. For they are virgins. These are the five wise virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men. They're first fruits to God, to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without guile before the throne of God. Look at that molding for the vision. Look at the vision. Do you have this today, brothers and sisters, listening to this? Do you know your life is being prepared for this? Molded for this? It should be. Redeemed from among many first fruits, because the children that are left, the harvest, they're the ones that will go through the great tribulation to be purged. Many of them will face martyrdom with the Antichrist, because he will come forth with great wrath, because he can no longer reside in the heavens. The overcomers, the church is there now. We read it back to you. You see. What is so interesting with the powers of darkness and with Satan is gradually being reduced more and more until finally he's earthbound. He doesn't have access any longer into the heavens, because the overcomers have been raptured. They now have taken that place which he usurped through the fall of Adam and Eve. He became the God of this world. He should never have been. It was given to man, to Adam, to multiply and replenish. And now we see God reverses the whole thing. And now again, the church, Jesus Christ, the forerunner, now brings the church back into authority in the heavens. You have to be molded for this. You have to have the vision to shape you for this, as you don't know where you're walking. You're just groping around, you see. And that is why I give the analogy of the potter and the clay, because the potter molds the clay into that vessel that the potter wants. And that is why you yield your life over to him. You don't resist, you don't fight him. You let him mold you and make you into a vessel of honor, not dishonor. For what? Vessels are to be filled, to be used. With what? the power, the presence, the Spirit of God. This is why you're an offering. You place yourself back on the altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So that that offering, like grapes, grapes have to be crushed when they're ready. And through the crushing, the pressure, the juice from the grapes is then used for the wine. And that's what he does with us. There comes a time when we're ripened that he will crush the grapes, and the sweet juice from that is the flavor that is accepted before God. And that's what he does with us. You see, wine has to be molded, shapen, worked on. You don't just get wine. There's a lot that goes into it. And so it's the same with God's people. He has to mold and shape and work on us so that we become Christ-like. He works the image of his Son in us. And that is why he has to separate us. Separate us from the world. Separate us from all those things that have influenced us, that has molded us. This is how he does it. And you get a lot of Christians who resist this. They want to be Christ-like, but they want to live like the world as well. And you can't. You have to decide who's going to shape you into the vision. Because the world, you can be in the world's vision and you will perish. Because the world shapes you with its lies, its deception. And God shapes us, but he shapes us into holiness, purity. And he doesn't lie. And that is the difference. We have to decide on that, saints. And that molding and shaping at times is painful. He has to put pressure in which to do it. But look at the vision. I've just read it to you. And finally, as we close with this, listen to what Isaiah has to say. Did you know Isaiah speaks of the man-child? Turn with me to Isaiah 66, verses 6 to 8. Isaiah 66, verses 6 to 8. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. That's also speaking of Christ, the forerunner, who's gone before, who has heard such a thing. Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion always speaks not only of Israel, but the church also, was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I cause delivery? Shut up the womb, says your God. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her, and rejoice. And so it goes on. See, God isn't going to close the womb. That's the whole point. She will give birth. And so the church is going to give birth to the overcomers, the first fruits. And when they're caught away, then God will start to turn to Israel, and she will give birth to a remnant who will come back and believe upon their Messiah. Here's God's divine plan, and you have to be shaped for the vision for the last days, because many are not seeing this. They're not experiencing this. They're not experiencing the Word of God molding you, preparing you for this. And if you have truly heard this today, and you're saying, I'm not sure about this, I'm listening, but I don't know, I'm not sure my life is being molded and shaped for this, then go before God before it's too late. Because that is what the deeper life and what we preach is about. This is it. This is what we're being prepared for. To rule and reign with Christ. Without a vision, the people perish. They get lost. They grope around. They go from place to place. They're not ever sure what God's saying or saying over their life and what their aim and purpose is for. God has never saved us for that. And that is why when you look to Jesus, he is the author finisher of your faith. But I can assure you, Jesus spiritually has feet and he walks. And he's fulfilling his divine plan, not going against his word. He's leading his church. This is why in the book of Revelation, it opens up with the seven churches, with him standing there in those churches, amongst them. But much today, they haven't a clue what God is saying or doing. And we have so many false prophets saying this, prophesying that, and the confusion. Yes, our inheritance. And you have to have a revelation of your inheritance in Jesus Christ and what he has given. And you can partake of that now, even in this life. Praise God. And this is our inheritance. So let the vision mold you. And that's what we've been talking about today, brothers and sisters. Molded into the vision. Hallelujah. Praise God.